Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, season 2, episode 29. My name is Yuri Bilast and I'm your podcast host. And today I'm joined by Paige. Hi Paige, how are you?
Hi Yuri, I'm doing really well, thank you.
I hear that you are in Paris, so not so far away. But guys, if you don't know Paige, let me introduce her. So Paige Donner, she's a social entrepreneur, a Web3 entrepreneur and co-founder of the Frontier DAO. This is a decentralized autonomous organization focused on space exploration, fusion energy innovation and climate solutions through collaboration and decentralized science. But aside from work, she also enjoys meditating, reading a book in a cafe on a Sunday afternoon, and spending time with friends. And of course, walking her dog. So Paige, it's great to have you. So tell us a bit about DeSci and how that relates to Web3.
Sure. Thanks, Yuri. Thanks for that great introduction too. I really appreciate it. And we have some nice sunshine here today in Paris as well. It looks like it's sunny there in Belgium. Sure, DeSci is such a burgeoning topic, you know, decentralized science. In fact, it's funny, in that introduction that kind introduction you just made for me, I was chatting with a friend over the weekend, and she's an engineer at a space company in the United States. And I used some of those terms. I used DeSci and DAO, and she texted me back and she said, I'm going to have to look up what all those terms mean because I have no idea. So I realized that sometimes a lot of this Web3, a lot of the language we spin up as we're creating this world of Web3, sometimes we have to slow down and just let people in on all that we mean about it. So let's start with DeSci. So DeSci, as you said, Yuri, it refers to decentralized science. And basically, you know, it can be described as a lot of things, but I think the real overarching umbrella is the intention to decentralize access to funding, knowledge, and power, right? As it relates to scientific and engineering research and innovation and query. So hopefully what that means really is widening the aperture, and not just a little bit, but a whole lot, for a lot of people to have more participation. So whether you're a citizen scientist or you're an academic or you're a PhD, hopefully these levers and mechanisms that we're working to put into place under this umbrella of decentralized science will allow for more voices and more query and more perspectives to jump into the conversation and jump into the research and jump into the thought process that will better humanity.
Can you tell us also, Paige, how it relates to intellectual property ownership?
Yes, I can talk a lot about that for sure. And primarily because actually Frontier DAO, I shepherded a project called Frontier Registry. It's actually sort of it's the marquee project of Frontier DAO. And what it is it's a publishing platform so that research can be published on chain. And how does that relate to your question? Well, it relates directly to your question because when you have intellectual property, you know, say you're a brilliant researcher, right? Or you're a scientist, or maybe you're even just an undergraduate or even just or a high school student. It kind of doesn't really matter where you're from or what your background is. Sometimes people have the most brilliant ideas and sometimes they're just accidents, right? So with Frontier Registry, this gives anybody the means by which to publish their research. So publish their idea, their research, their intellectual property on the blockchain. And what that means is that there's then an immutable date timestamp that attributes that specific idea or that specific research, that specific breakthrough to the exact person who has published it. So there can be no sort of jockeying or shuffling or waiting 6 months before somebody publishes it for you, right? It's immediate and direct access of proving your immutable tie right? Your immutable affiliation to your intellectual property. And that's, I think, one of the biggest and best breakthroughs in this burgeoning field, because we feel that this, even just this singularly, will allow for so much more collaboration. Because when you are assured that your best and brightest work that you put forward in whatever context, whatever community, has to be acknowledged, right? It has to be acknowledged that it's come from you, right? Also, simultaneously, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because then it's open to peer review. If there's fallacies in what you put forward, people are going to attack it, right? People are going to say, hey, wait a minute, there's a hole here, or there's this there, or you didn't look at it at this, right? Which is good. It's good. That's what scientific query is supposed to be about, right? It's supposed to be about putting your best hypotheses forward and letting your peers and intellectual equals, you know, basically tear it down or punch holes into it, so that the truth remains, right? So that we can move forward based on truth and not on assumption. And so that, I believe, that is really one of the most exciting things coming out of DSci, is this ability to create a hive mind, right? Create that ecosystem of a hive mind, so that people can iterate upon scientific or engineering breakthroughs very quickly, but protecting the original intellectual property owner's rights, right? And so that, I think, is what has been, I very firmly believe that's really what has been missing for a long time in this equation of how do we publish great ideas, but protect the intellectual property right of the owner, and then still simultaneously allow for collaboration, right? Kind of like building, like Lego building blocks. And that's what we call Frontier Registry. It's a publishing platform that allows for basically intellectual property, Lego building blocks.
Right. It also seems very efficient and speedy. And yeah, that's really important and interesting, because if you have an idea, you don't want someone else to come and steal your idea. So I like that. I like the fact that it's speedy, but also that it seems like a solution that empowers underrepresented people when it comes to intellectual ownership, right?
Yes, it is all about ownership. You know, this conversation about science as a public good is not a new one. It's actually a conversation that's been going on for, you know, over a century. And so our interpretation is that science should be accessible by everybody. But if you make science a public good, then you remove any aligned incentives of the people who are going to make the breakthrough, right? If somebody can build a better rocket, but they won't be able to access that engineering and commercialize it for their own purposes, are they really going to unleash, you know, are they really going to share that then with the rest of us, right? So we're not promoting selfishness, but we are supporting the inherent human nature of, you know, of self-interest aligned with public interest, right? It's both. It's privileging both. So we're very much about supporting intellectual property rights of the individual, but allowing for a platform and allowing for a mechanism by which collaboration can thrive, you know, it really thrive. Because if I build a better mousetrap, right, and then you come along and you go, hey, wait a minute, if you put a little bit of cheese in the mousetrap, we'll catch more mice, right? Just to use a silly example, then our collaboration now has made something that is much more efficient, right? Much more workable. So that doesn't diminish my contribution, and it doesn't negate your contribution. It allows for them both, right? And it allows for them both to be rewarded, which is how we feel, is what we feel is equitable,
page. Also, what I was wondering, because it's really a beautiful, I would say, story that you're writing with this DAO, but how do people that have brilliant ideas, how do they know that you exist? Do you do some efforts on the marketing side at the moment?
Yes. Well, and this is an early stage project that I'm sharing with you. We've only just released in alpha. So we're welcoming beta users. So any listener here or anybody that you come across who would like to test out Frontier Registry as a beta user, you can find the platform on frontierdao.xyz under the facts and projects page. We also have the landing page for Frontier Registry pinned at our Twitter at Frontier DAO. So those are probably the two easiest ways to find Frontier Registry. And it's only open right now to alpha users. So we've built with a grant from Polygon. Thankfully, we're very grateful for the backing that we got from Polygon. I love that network. It's also very easy to use. It's a very fast network to use, and it's very inexpensive. Also, because we're still in beta, we built on the testnet. So it's the Mumbai testnet. So it's basically, yeah. So for the transactions, when you actually save your research, your publishing paper onto the blockchain and then basically into your own wallet, the transaction fees, you know, and anything on the blockchain requires some kind of transaction fees, right? So those transaction fees are actually now in Mumbai testnet. So it's basically play money. But you can find us on Twitter, so at FrontierDAO. You can find us on our website, frontierdao.xyz. And you can find us in Discord. And we have a link tree and we have a LinkedIn as well. So our showcase page, LinkedIn at FrontierDAO. So
yeah. Yeah, I ask at the end, but now we already have it. Guys, it will also be in the show notes. If you are listening to this podcast episode and you want those links, you will find them in the show notes. But yeah, okay, it's early because you are now, you know, alpha beta, that's still early. So the marketing is something I guess you will do later on. You will put some more effort in there. But anyway, you were noticed, Paige, because you are one of the women of the top 100 most inspirational women in Web3 list. That is, I think it's Unstoppable that made that list. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? And for yourself, what kind of impact do you hope to make for the industry?
Oh, thanks for that question. I appreciate you calling out that recognition. I felt very humbled, Yuri, about that because it came as a real surprise. And also, I just love Unstoppable because it's from Unstoppable Domains, but also the team behind Unstoppable Women of Web3, which is part of that. They are just really so focused on empowering women and getting women into Web3. So, you know, I follow them in social media and I follow a lot of the women, what the women are doing. And, you know, so they're all doing great things. And there are so many women who aren't on that list who definitely deserve to be, you know, because there are so many women just doing wonderful, wonderful, things in Web3. And I have to say that that's really one of the great things too about Web3, about the blockchain, is that if you take the tools into your own hands, you can empower yourself, right? I think the term unstoppable is great because if you take those tools and you learn how to use them, you do kind of become unstoppable. You know, it's all about you creating your own Web3 world, whether you're building a metaverse. You know, a lot of the women on that list are building things in the metaverse, or maybe you're creating an NFT collection. There's some great NFT creators on that list, or you're doing things in climate and science, you know, which is the path that I've taken in Web3 and blockchain technology. So yeah, I was thrilled. I was also very surprised, you know, to have made it, and I really want to live up to it, and I want to inspire, you know, more people, and I want people also to see me as a resource. In case they're kind of like asking themselves, how can I use you know, how can I use blockchain to, or how can I use Web3 to realize my own set of goals? How can I integrate it perhaps into my existing business? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and congrats again with this. And also, you mentioned the word metaverse. Some of the women on the list are active in the metaverse. I had one of those women also on my podcast, a few of them actually. But I know that you have been a metaverse producer for the Outer Space Virtual Museum. Can you just share a bit about that experience?
Oh, thanks, Yuri. Yeah, sure. Well, that project was kind of very realistically born during the global pandemic that we all, you know, lived through. And it was basically, you know, how do you still provide culture and the means to access culture when everything is shut down, right? But it also too speaks to, like, very specifically in the United States, we have a wonderful museum called the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, right? I mean, and it is just one of the most, you know, fabulous museums. But if you don't live in Washington, D.C., or you never get to visit Washington, D.C., you may never get to go to that museum, right? And so why should physical proximity be the barrier by which to experience that kind of learning, that kind of rich material learning environment? And our conclusion was, well, it really shouldn't be, right? Now that we have these 3D and metaverse tools that in our hands that we can use, why not make it, you know, why not provide an alternative? It's not to say choose one over the other. It's just to say, look, if you're on a remote Pacific island, right, and you're going to school and all of a sudden now you're studying, you know, the Apollo space exploration in your junior high or high school class, why should you not be able to not have some kind of an immersive experience, right, in order to learn more in depth and more tactilely about what that, you know, what that really represented, you know, that what these human beings accomplished, right? And us as a collective of humanity, what we accomplished with that. So that's how the Outer Space Virtual Museum was born. And it's, and I didn't do the 3D architecture. I worked, there was a startup called Arium who allowed me to use their templates. But I also had a huge amount of help from a young woman who is a professional 3D architect. And she, you know, she really helped me put the buildings in place and, you know, frame things and stuff. So I didn't do, that wasn't a project done, you know, by one individual, by any stretch of the imagination. It was a collective project. And I really hope that we can continue to build on it and to expand it and to actually build it into a metaverse. There's been lots of great ideas that have come, you know, like saying, oh, why don't you use the museum as sort of a launch pad and let people travel to the moon from the museum, you know, the metaverse moon. I mean, just some great ideas coming through. So I hope to empower those as, you know, as funding comes and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I see your enthusiasm. Me, I'm also really excited about all these possibilities that we see in the metaverse. But it's, as we said in the beginning, for a lot of people, when you talk about terms like metaverse, DAOs, they look at what are you talking about? And so there is still a long way to go. But by making podcast episodes like this, I also hope, you know, to educate on the one side, yeah, the Web2 audience that is looking at Web3, and also give some ideas and inspirations for people that are already in the Web3 world. So Paige, it was great to have you, and I imagine that people, that they want to connect with you, if they want to connect with you, what would be the best place to find you?
Usually Discord, our Discord server is a good place to start. Yeah, jump into our Discord server. And then also, you know, Twitter, you know, Web3 Twitter is really active. So, you know, we're all over Twitter as well. So at Frontier DAO, and our DMs are open. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Exciting. Thank you so much for your time, Paige.
Thank you, Yuri. It's been such a pleasure. It's been so great to connect with you. And I'm just so impressed with all the work and all the interviews that you've been doing and your dedication to Web3.
Yeah, you know, Paige, I love this. This is really my thing, you know, doing this podcast, meeting people, talking about Web3, you know, learning myself and also helping people to learn. So guys, if you are now listening to this episode and you think, wow, this is an amazing story. Again, we learned a lot. Please share it with your friends, with your colleagues, with other entrepreneurs, with people around you. If you are not subscribed yet to the podcast, yeah, just hit the subscribe button. And of course, I would like to see you back for the next podcast episode. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, don't worry if you missed anything. We took all the notes for you. Just go to web3.net. That's webdrie.net. If you want to connect with me on social media, my Instagram and Twitter handles are Yuri Bilast, just like my name. And last but not least, I'm starting a Web3 marketing mastermind, and it will be awesome. If you want to have more information about this, just send me a message on Twitter or Instagram, or send me an email to yuri@efficado.com. You will also find all details in the show notes. Thanks so much, and hope to see you back next time.